Welcome to Surviving to Thriving, Total Freedom from a Biblical Approach with host Denitra Gary. In this program, you'll learn the practical tools to give you the greatest amount of emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom that will transform your life from surviving to thriving. Now, here is your host, Denitra Gary.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Surviving to Thriving on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I am your host, Denitra Gary. So today we're going to talk about the brain and how it affects our mental health. We're going to dive deep into this topic by one of our nation's leaders in childhood trauma, Dr. Lake. Dr. Lake helps to identify the survival mechanisms that have sabotaged a child's chances for health and adult and a healthy adult relationship. So he is a specialist in childhood trauma, and I'm very excited that he's here today to give us information about the brain and how it helps us to have a healthy life or an unhealthy life. So Dr. Lake, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be with you.
Great. So can you start out by telling us what is your knowledge? I know that you have so much information on the brain. How can you give us a good foundation of this topic?
Well, I believe that we must try to understand how the brain works and how it functions. Mm-hmm. By understanding it, then we can see how it affects how we allow it to affect our behavior, our actions, our choices, our health, and so everything starts and ends right there with the brain. So it's always good to understand how it works, how it involves our feelings and how our health and our happiness.
Right. I think a lot of times when we do what we do, we don't trace it to the brain. We kind of live our lives, you know, just on autopilot, so to speak. And we don't always kind of think about why are we thinking the way we're thinking. So I'm glad that our audience will be able to listen in to understand, you know, the leading source is it comes from what's in our brain, correct?
That's correct.
Right. That's so correct. How can you help us to understand that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And actually, the word you said, is so true. I think that's where we'll start. You use the word autopilot. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting. The brain can literally be classified as lazy.
Mm.
Because its goal is to keep us, keep things on autopilot. So I always divide the brain up, left side, right side, if you want to go that route. And I'll say one side is autopilot, and the other side is emergency brake.
Hmm.
So the brain basically is one along with the nervous system that controls and monitors our outside world. It controls our movement. It learns, it remembers, and generally controls all of our behavior. And so once the brain learns your choices, your preferences, how you react, how you respond, it stores all that information away, and then it uses that to literally keep us in autopilot. So that means that any time you want to do something different that's outside your normal routine that's been established based on your choices, your actions, your preferences, your upbringing, then it's like, no, I don't want to do that. It's different. It literally pulls the switch and the emergency brake comes on so that you can stay in autopilot.
Hmm.
So that's the first wonderful thing that you can learn about the brain. It is just basically autopilot and emergency brake. If you don't act within 5 seconds of a positive impulse, because you can act or respond to a negative impulse as well.
Right.
You do that quick. But if you react and respond to a positive impulse within 5 seconds, you literally are telling your brain, no, we're going to do this, and now you are beginning to rewire your brain. Otherwise, if you don't act on it, the brain just stays on autopilot. Hope that makes sense so far.
No, I think that that's so true. And I think that there's one direction that our brain can go in autopilot or the other, whether it's negative or positive. So it's the process of training your brain to have a autopilot positive switch, I guess.
Yes. Yes. So true. So true. So when I work with clients, or if I'm teaching a class or in a seminar, I simply say, let's talk about the brain. And I have a picture and I'll say the brain and the mind are different. Do you agree or disagree? And people will say, well, there's some of people will act confused. The brain and the mind are two separate things, but the mind is a part of the brain. Now, you agree with that, right?
Right.
So to go back to what you said just a few seconds ago, the brain doesn't determine whether an action or a choice is beneficial or destructive. That's not its role. That is not its role. But the brain is basically an organ of a creature of habit, an organ of habit. It simply does what you always do. It is not there to determine if the action is good or bad, beneficial or negative. And so even our mind works along the same thing. Now, the brain does have the capacity to do multiple things at the same time, sending out signals, coordinating, making sure that we breathe, move, talk, walk, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So people automatically assume that the mind is a multitasker as well. But it isn't. The mind can only focus on one thing at a time, and you can categorize it or classify it as either whatever I am focusing on is either going to be something good or something bad, something positive or something negative. So that whatever it is, once you start making choices or thinking in a negative way, then your brain now stores all that information. And so in some circles of psychology, they say that 70% of the chatter in our minds are negative. But there's another group within psychology that says, no, it's more like 90% of the thoughts in our minds are negative. Now, whether that's 70 or 90, or let's split the difference and say 80% of the thoughts in our minds are negative, then guess what? It's easy then that we start listening to these negative brain messages. I can't do this. You'll never amount to this. Why try? And so we can literally rewire ourselves for negativity and program our actions so that all we're doing is a bunch of negative stuff. I hope I'm making clear. I hope I'm being clear.
No, you're being very clear. So essentially the mind is what drives the brain to go to do whatever it is, just like your kidneys or your liver or your heart, whatever you're feeding it and giving it determines what it does.
That's right. The brain follows the mind. That is definitely correct.
The brain I said the mind follows the brain, so it's the other way around.
I'm sorry. No. Actually,
it's the brain follows what the mind is doing.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense. So whatever your mind, whatever is being stored in your mind is what your brain is going, is which direction, or whatever you allow your mind to store is what it determines the direction of where your brain will go.
Correct. Correct.
That's just a really good way of putting it. I haven't put it that way. I teach this same type of concept that you teach on a spiritual level. This is a very practical way of teaching anybody this.
And actually, if we want to put it in a spiritual context,
right?
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
Paul talks about the renewing of the mind.
Right.
The mind is the leader. Everything else follows it. The brain follows it, the body, everything, your action. So I have to be careful about what I'm allowing myself to think about, be exposed to, because, listen, the brain simply responds to how you behave, and then What it does then, it generates strong impulses, your thoughts, your desires, your cravings and urges, and then that's how we develop these habits. So it all starts at the mind.
So your mind is really where those inner motives and intentions and desires and feelings are birthed or started.
Yes.
Okay. I never broke it down like this, so I'm learning something new.
Say that again?
I said I've never broken it down like this. I just say the brain. and so you're helping me because I've never thought of it as two different things.
And believe me, that's how I thought of it as well until I started studying. I took a year and a half ago, I took a 6-month class. It could have been longer. It was a neurobiology class, and we just did nothing but study the brain. And then when we started looking at the relationship between the mind and the brain, and it was like, I was blown away. It's like, wow. Mm. And so here's how I describe the mind and thoughts and all of that. If you like going to the beach, every time I go to the beaches out here in Southern California, no matter what beach I go to, I always see a bunch of painters out there trying to capture the scene of either the crowd or the ocean or all the above. Mm-hmm. So just about 4 weeks ago, I was standing behind a lady who was ready to start painting whatever she was looking at out there in the horizon.
Right.
And for about 5 minutes, she just stood there, didn't move. She just looked out there. And so I just got real quiet and I just watched her. And then all of a sudden, she took her brush, dipped it in a color, and then she just started making indiscriminate lines one direction on the canvas. I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then after a few minutes of making these indiscriminate lines, she dipped it in water, put another color on it, and went the opposite way, starting making indiscriminate lines. And that's when I said, oh, my goodness, that's how the mind works. All these lines, indiscriminate, are like thoughts. So people have racing thoughts, or they can't control their thinking. The mind, so and then after about another few seconds, she took the brush and started making another set of strokes in a different direction. And after about 5 minutes of different types of strokes, I start seeing shapes or pictures emerge on this canvas.
Wow.
So I said, oh my goodness, I know what's happening now. Our thoughts, after a while, start creating these pictures, or they form these pictures in our mind, our imagination. Those pictures are either something good or something bad. There's never any in-between with the mind. It's either one thing or the other.
Yes.
So after a while, if you keep putting a lot of negative thoughts in your mind, you will develop a negative picture. If you have a lot of positive thoughts, you will start seeing a positive picture in your mind, a picture of yourself, a picture of your job, a picture of your relationship. We all should have several pictures in our minds, and these pictures are what drives us. They move us. They motivate us, particularly if they are positive. But if they're negative, they have the opposite effect on us. They depress us. They unmotivate us. They make us stop. They make us quit. They make us sad, we cry. So it's all based on these pictures that are developing based on the things that I think.
Wow. This is just awesome because the way that, like I said, the way that you're putting this, it helps anyone to break this down to understand. I mean, you know, I've heard, you know, I've studied cognitive behavioral therapy, but this takes it to a different level and you separating your brain from your mind. So essentially, the brain is the canvas and the mind is the picture.
Yes, that is correct. And so guess what? If I go back to what I said right at the beginning of the show, the brain then learns our behaviors, our choices, our preferences based on what we allow ourselves to think about the most. That's then what we actually begin to do. The brain memorizes that, and once it gets it all down, Then it clicks on autopilot, and we can basically just cruise. Just cruise. Wow. But people that want to be overcomers, that want to be the top achievers, they push through, and they don't settle for just, so if I get to the top, I'm looking for how can I get even higher?
Right.
If I finish one degree, how can I do more? If I'm in a marriage, how can I keep growing? Because if you don't challenge yourself, autopilot will kick in, and you will just lapse into routine, and it's routines that are killing us.
Right.
Right, especially negative routines. Right.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, the sky is not the limit when it comes to Christ. You can go as high as you want to go in your relationship with God. And that encompasses everything that you are, your family, your career, your, you know, every facet of who you are is encompassed by your relationship with the Lord. And the sky is not the limit. You can go as high as you want to go. We have about 2 minutes till break. Do you have any closing thoughts you can give our guests before the next segment?
So I would just say, to close out this segment, just remember that the brain thinks, and it tends to react as is accustomed to thinking and reacting, meaning it's simply an organ of habits. That's what it is. But it follows whatever your mind is, that's where it'll follow.
All right. Great. That's a perfect closing thought. We are going to go to our break now. I encourage you all to stay tuned in with us as we continue to learn more about the brain and the mind. We'll be back.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
Do you desire to work through emotional issues but aren't sure where or how to start? Do you struggle to identify the reasons you feel what you feel? Denitra Gary, your clinical social worker, has developed a healing journal and workbook to help you process and identify the root cause of all negative emotions. Be sure to pre-order your workbook and journal today at complimentandcomplete.com and look forward to the official release on July 1st. Get ready to start a new journey of mental freedom as you learn how to cooperate with Jesus to heal from your past.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration that opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane, right here on the Empowerment Channel.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Surviving to Thriving. To reach Denitra Gary with a question or comment about our program, send an email to Denitra at complimentandcomplete.com. That's Denitra at complimentandcomplete.com. Now back to Surviving to Thriving.
Thank you all for staying tuned in with us. We are back for our second segment of Surviving to Thriving. I'm your host, Denitra Gary. We are continuing with Dr. Lake, who is talking about the brain. And really, he was just giving us a foundation on understanding the brain and the mind. And so, Dr. Lake, you said that pretty much he gave us a really good illustration. So if you could go back and listen to the first segment, it would be awesome. So he pretty much said that the brain is the canvas and the mind is the drawing, so to speak. So we are able to determine what is going to be put on that canvas, correct?
That is correct. We move toward whatever we see in our mind. That's the adage that we see when we talk about the differences between the mind and the brain. We generally move toward whatever picture we see in our minds. And once we see it, we move toward it, there are actions and choices that drive us toward whatever that thing is or keep us in that place. And so that's how these habits begin to form, good or bad, positive or negative.
Right. I always tell my clients that how we our autopilot, so to speak, because we were saying that we don't want to just remain in autopilot. We want to excel in our relationship with God. So in really, you know, getting to a place in your mind where you are emotionally, mentally, spiritually free, you'll have to persevere. And so I always tell clients that in order for you to develop new brain patterns, you have to kind of start with your childhood, because a lot of it goes back to that, wouldn't you say?
Yes. 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 That is, I totally agree with you. When I, like you, work with clients who are stuck or they're still dealing with some things in the past, when we start going back and tracing it, you can trace a lot of things to those first 3 to 5 years of life, and maybe you can go up to maybe 3 to 10, 2 to 10. That those are, when you say the formative years, you are absolutely correct. Our minds are like, our brains are like sponges. Our minds are just taking in everything. And so things that happen to us either negatively or positively can affect us until we understand what's happening and get help for the rest of our life, particularly if it's negative.
Right.
I always say this, and you know, just to make sure that I always want to be as clear as possible. The brain, we can see the brain. I literally not been able to touch one, but I've been able to see one in parts of my study. The brain is a part of a visible, tangible world. We can see it. Now, unfortunately, if you see one, something bad or tragic has happened. But you can see one for study purposes. The mind is the invisible world of your thoughts. It's your feelings, your attitude, your beliefs, your imagination. You don't see that. So you see the mind is something visible. The brain is something visible. The mind is something invisible. Those are, again, another differences between the two.
Right. And so would you say that our mind is more, encompasses more of our spiritual component?
Yes. Yes. Again, it's that part of your world of thoughts, your feelings, your attitude, your beliefs. All that comes from the mind.
Right. And so when your attitude is, how would one change from, say they hear this concept and they have very negative thought patterns, very negative intentions and depression, irritation, agitation, you know, however you want to, you know, write the book, or so to speak, but they're just in a dark place mentally. How do they start the process of renewing their mind so that they are developing a more positive outlook?
So it can start as simply, and I use the term, we need to change the picture. How do I change the picture? The picture is driven by thoughts and feelings. So I need to start thinking in a more positive way. And over the years, I have taught myself, you know, with God's help, to be, I can see positivity in everything. So if I'm sitting in L.A. traffic for 2 hours, where, and before I used to be mad and irritated, I look for the positive. So you know what I say to myself? Boy, I got time to pray now. Or thank God I got a car. I don't have to ride the bus, or if I'm coming from an appointment, man, I praise God, I got a job. So I can look for things that are positive, and the more positive we feed it, you can't feed positive and negative at the same time. It's either going to be one or the other. So you literally have to feed one and try your best to starve the other one out. And literally, the brain has the ability to rewire itself because you're doing it with your mind first. By changing your thoughts, changing and not relying on how you feel. Feelings are some funny things. And I always tell people, either you are in your feelings, or are you going to deal with principle? It's one or the other. What's going to be the one that's going to drive you? Is it going to be your feelings or your principles? If you get into your feelings, you're going to be all over the map. If you get into your principles, you're not going to be so reactive. You're not going to be so impulsive. You're going to be looking for what is the best thing for me to do, be, act, think. And that has to be your driver, and it will literally help you change your picture. But it takes a little time.
Yeah, I always, when I'm teaching this concept, I use kind of similar to what you're saying. It's interesting how we work in the same kind of direction. Whereas I tell people to stay in praise. And a lot of times when you are frustrated about something or irritated about something, it's easy to go with your emotions because like we were saying, you go into autopilot. So when you go into autopilot, if that's your normal reaction, that's how you're going to normally react. You're going to get irritated, frustrated, agitated, however, you know, whatever you're thinking. But if you focus on the principle, because staying in praise is a principle, it's not always our immediate response, especially if we're frustrated about something we've done to ourselves. Like if you didn't do something correctly, if you didn't do your best, it's easy for you to say, oh, I'm stupid. I could have done better. Why did I do that? I should have did this. You know, it's easy to go into that dark place in our mind where we're focusing on our emotions and putting ourselves down. But I encourage people to stay in praise, because when you stay in praise, you're automatically staying connected to God. And then God can show you in a positive way how you should have responded.
Oh, yes. Yes, and again, I'm with you. The more I'm talking with you, I'm going, man, you be picking. We're doing the same thing. We're talking. We believe basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when I work with those who are not, you know, they don't want any spiritual component to it, so I would just simply say, hey, look, then you must learn to wait. If you are dealing with anger, wait before you respond. If you're stressed out, and you think you got to make a decision, no, wait. Because if you don't, the brain already figured out a long time ago, based on our own choices and actions, how you're going to respond, and it'll just take you there. That's autopilot. So I'm with you. Hey, think, pray, don't necessarily respond. But I also believe, because some people will say, well, man, I'm scared to do anything because then I might have a reaction. And maybe I shouldn't have these reactions. And I say, no, you can have an emotional reaction to something that affects you.
Right.
The deal is you can't stay in that emotional reaction for long. If somebody hits me, like I got rear-ended 11 months ago, and it was the third accident, the third time on the freeway in 18 months, and two times before, I was driving a smaller car. I was doing it for gas. They pulled up my car, just slamming it from behind.
Wow.
This time in my SUV, they hit me so hard, it knocked me into the car in front of me. So I had an emotional reaction. I got out, and I was angry. How could you? Did you not see us, that we were stopping? And then the guy was, I guess he didn't understand English, and it caused me to pause, and I quickly go, wait a minute. That's what I got to do it for. I got inconvenienced. Let me just make sure everybody's okay. Yeah, quickly, you got to get to that place where you can think rationally. Otherwise, you go responding, and then boom, you blow it.
Right. So do you believe that God can change our instant reactions so that we are always responding to something instantly in a positive way?
I do, but you are really, at this point, when that can happen or when that does happen, that means that you have literally, your brain is literally rewired. You are totally dependent on God, and you have learned to control your emotions to the point where nothing phases you or bothers you. You just simply know, hey, God, you got this. I'm okay. But it's going to take time. It's going to take regiment and routine, a positive routine, and a discipline to go there. When you look at the great leaders of the Bible, that's what they had to learn. Moses was good until a couple of times he lost his anger. But most of the time he kept his, he was considered a meek man. He had to learn that. Abraham, same thing. They had to learn these things. And we can learn it and then do it. It's just discipline, routine, discipline, routine.
Right. And I think that when God, when we are praising God, when we are focusing on positive things that God's done for us, even if you just read the book of Psalms, it's all about praise to God. When we're staying in that mode of praise, then God can reveal to us the deeper motives, the deeper things in our hearts. Once he heals us of those things, then we can get to a place where we can instantly respond in a positive way. And it does take time because there's so, you know, we have a lifetime of mess in our brains. We're born into sin and iniquity. And so we have a lifetime of stuff that is built up in our brain that leads to our negative responses. But if you have the desire to respond, because that's where my desire is. My desire, I want to get to a place where I can respond instantly to things, you know, in a Christ-like way all the time. Because that's where Jesus was. That's how he responded. And we are to, our desire should be to respond like him, correct?
Yes, totally. And that should be all of our desires. That should be what we should be striving for. And if I don't, at least, I mean, I got to put forth my best effort to try to get to that place. That's man, boy, I tell you, if I could get there, ooh, boy. That totally changes. It totally, because I just visualized it. See, I saw that picture, and I saw myself at that place where nothing perturbs me. Nothing. I'm so into what God's going to do and how he's going to fix this. That's my faith. I'm okay.
Right. And I'm telling you, I've started the process of doing that over the last 2 years. And it first started with me having to acknowledge a lot of emotional pain that came from childhood. And even generational pain, you know, because my parents were abused, you know, and so things got passed down to me throughout my childhood as a result of, you know, things that were passed down to my parents. And so, you know, when we go back and God starts to unveil some of the things that have happened to us and the reason why, he essentially clears all that, you know, clears the dross to make the gold. And when gold is gold, it's gold. There's no impurities. There's none of that mess in there. It's just gold. And we can get to a place when he has completely healed us from all that hurt and that pain generationally or just in childhood or whatever, to a place where we can have instant responses. The problem is people don't think that that's possible.
Well, listen, I'm sure, and I can speak for you on this, we're in this fields that we're in because we believe that people can change, not by themselves, but with help from God and through training through people like you and me. I believe that. I believe it with all of my heart that God uses, he can straight out heal us, make us into the person that he needs us to be. But most of the time, he uses people like you and me, other therapists, counselors, whatever, to help people, relive their lives in a different way. So I believe that. And so what I'm about to tell you next is something that every time I say it, it just blows my mind. It's it's called, I call it 63 days. 63 days. 63. I have my clients. I give it, when they come to my office, everybody gets a notepad, tablet, and a pen. Because I make them take notes. We remember what we see, not what we hear. So you take notes, and you can refer to it in between sessions so that you are always constantly feeding yourself these positive things. So I thought, write the number 63 down. Big, bold thing. 63, does that have any significance, any meaning for you? And they'll look, no, well, my dad is 63, or I'll be 63 tomorrow. Okay, that's good, but let me tell you how the brain works. Mm-hmm. Because the brain, some people think that the brain, you are who you are right now is who you will always be. Mm-hmm. That is not true.
Right.
First, as David says in the 51st Psalm, created me a clean heart.
Yes.
What he's talking about is created me a clean mind.
Yes.
So as my mind gets cleaned, transformed, my brain can get rewired.
Yes.
And here's how he makes it. So if anybody thinks that we came from evolution, we just naturally evolved, man, it's crazy.
Because exactly.
When you understand this principle of many others, you go, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because every action or habit that I do, if I keep doing it, it develops, or an action develops into a habit. And now, when you look at some brains, there are deep grooves in the brain. It looks like, when you see a brain, it looks like a piece of clay. It looks very moldable. It's malleable. It looks soft. I wasn't able to touch it, but it just looks like you could just mold it like silly putty. So that if you keep making the same decisions over and over, these decisions travel down what we call in the brain neural highway. So you keep doing the same thing over and over, these messages that form into habits, they just travel down the same thing, and so it looks like deep grooves in your brain. Well, if you want to start rewiring your brain with God's help, you follow a strong positive impulse. Okay, I want to get up and I want to start praying. And I want to pray every morning for the rest of my life in a relationship with God. So if you got up every morning and you try to do it at the same time, if you do it for 21 straight days, remember now we're going to get to 63. If you do it for 21 straight days, do the same thing. Get up at 6 o'clock. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. You do it 21 straight days. A new neural highway now gets established in your brain.
Hmm. Now, you know what? We're gonna put a cap on it right there because we got about, we're actually on our way to commercial. So we're going to put a cap right there and we're going to start up on our next segment. So we'll be back. I really encourage you all to stay tuned with us because we're just learning so much good principles. So we got the 63 principles or 63 days to rewire your brain. We will start back at this when we get back to our next segment. We'll be back.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you're ready for big changes in less than 1 month's time, you're ready to tune in for Radical Change Now with Dr. Mary Oz. It's where healing meets the law of attraction in an engaging package. You'll hear from guests and callers as they share their stories, offer solutions to life's challenges, and much more. With Dr. Mary's approach, even a child could effectively learn and apply the concepts discussed on each week's show. Listen live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
When life's issues become overwhelming and at times feel unbearable, we often resort to anger, medication, and even depression. Complete freedom from negative emotional hurt and pain is possible through Jesus. A Time to Heal is a program designed to break the cycle of negative emotion and allow Jesus to guide your life towards complete wholeness. Learn how to experience joy, love, and peace in Christ. Now is the time to develop new patterns of thinking and new habits in Christ. To everything, there is a season, a time to weep, and a time to break down. Now is your time to heal.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Surviving to Thriving. To reach Denitra Gary with a question or comment about our program, send an email to Denitra at complimentandcomplete.com. That's Denitra at complimentandcomplete.com. Now back to Surviving to Thriving.
Hey, everybody. We are back with our third segment of learning about the brain with Dr. Lake. So Dr. Lake has started with 63 principles to rewire your brain. So can you give us a little start out where you were and then kind of piggyback from there, Dr. Lake?
All right. So I'm glad to be back with you. I call it the 63-day principle. 63-day principle. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that we get this thing because this is powerful. Right. I don't want to mislead anybody and make you think that in 63 days you can rewire totally your brain. Mm-hmm. No, you do it one positive action at a time.
Okay.
So how it works is, I use the analogy, I want to start a relationship with God, and it's been sporadic before, but now I want to be consistent, and I want to do it every day. And so you develop a routine. And if you can keep that routine, they start at, say, 6 o'clock, I'm going to get up, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to spend some time in prayer, and I'm going to do that day in and day out. Well, after 21 straight days of doing that new behavior or habit or action, a new neural highway is now developed or established in your brain.
Mm.
That's where the action will travel down that highway.
Right.
42 more days of consistently reading my Bible, getting up, praying, studying. After 42 more days, 42 and 21 is 63, it becomes a permanent habit. But it's not just a habit, it's a permanent positive habit.
Mm.
Then you start with something else. And then you do the same thing. I want to quit, I'm going to get off of sugar.
Hmm.
You can do the same thing with any area of your life. And that's why you can literally rewire your brain. Not the whole thing at one time, but one positive action at a time. Listen, we are sinners. We are always making mistakes. So we always have room to improve, to get better. Well, guess what? That's why I can't ever say to somebody, you know, you can rest. You can stop. No, you always have to keep improving, keep getting better, keep challenging yourself. So you are literally remaking you through your mind, and the brain then follows the mind, carries it out. So now, if you're going to be on autopilot, guess what? I got all these positive habits to be on autopilot.
Right.
I don't mind that. It's those bad habits, those bad things that I'm doing that I am on. You know, so there's hope. 63 days, one new principle of habit after another. Now let's get on to the next thing. What else is, so when David says, search my heart, oh God, show me if I'm doing anything that's not like what you want. So that as you get out of one thing, you start something positive to react to that, then you start another one and another one, and before you know it, oh my goodness.
Hmm.
2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all have become new. I believe that.
Right. And so what would you say to someone who is just overwhelmed and feels like, well, I just got too much stuff? You know, I have so much mess in my life. I this is going to take forever, you know. What would you say to that person?
Well, I would say several things. Number one, if you look at too big of a picture, you're going to get discouraged. Because if you got to see how far you got to go, you don't even want to start.
Right.
So I say stop looking at a month from now and look at literally that day you're in. That's all you got anyway, because nothing is guaranteed. Okay. We're not guaranteed to be around here at the end of July. All we have is when we wake up that day, we have that day. And if you can focus, it's a singular focus. All right, today, this is what I'm going to do. And if God's will, I get up tomorrow. When you get to tomorrow, that's when you focus on tomorrow. Remember, the mind can only focus on one thing at a time. It gets over. You can be overwhelming yourself by focusing on too much, trying to. So I got to lose 40 pounds, so I want to lose it tonight. That's not going to happen. That's crazy.
Right.
That's not even realistic. No, but if I do it one day at a time, it's more manageable. I can see success. And once we see success or we see positive things happening, it motivates us to keep going, to keep trying. And if you should have a setback, again, you get up, you start over again, and start it again. So if you're in the middle of a 21-day where you were getting up, reading, and praying, and for some strange reason, on day 16, you just broke that thing, don't beat yourself up and go, oh, man, I'll never do it. No, all right, tomorrow will be day one of 21. I got to get this highway built for this positive action to travel down. Just start over. Don't beat yourself up. Keep trying.
Right.
That's what we call righteousness by faith.
Right. But the thing is, when you're starting, say you're on 63-day plan, but you're at day 30 and you slip up and you don't read your word for a few days, you're not essentially starting all over, right? You're still starting back, but you're starting over, but you're not starting from scratch.
You're not starting from the beginning. You just have to get realigned back
exactly.
with what you were doing before. And the brain, again, you started this process, so you just get back in sync. That goes to the same thing. I can have a moment of reaction. Ow! Ooh, I don't like that. And then you get mad. And then you quickly, all right, let me get back to the principle.
Right.
Get back to but the I'm, not the feeling.
I know sometimes when we mess up, that is what we think. I've thought that about myself. So I'm going to use my own experience. When I've been frustrated about something because I didn't respond the best way, but I've been teaching allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me new responses, to download new patterns into my into my brain. But I have a situation that comes up and I still don't respond the best way. I could get frustrated with myself and feel like I have made no progress. And so the key is also to understand that just because you mess up doesn't mean you haven't made any progress. You know, it's just a matter of picking everything, just picking back, putting your shoe back on or taking your shoe off, getting the rocks out, putting it back on and keep, and you keep going. You know, starting all over again.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And look, that's
just one principle that I use. But, if I want to be more technical, and be more theoretically sound, when we talk about the brain, because there are people who are more educated, more qualified to talk about the brain than I am. I'm not trying to act like I'm the world's authority on the brain. But I've had to study it for the last 6 years, and it's a part of when I talk about childhood trauma, we talk about the damages of trauma on the brain, how it impacts. I don't want to even get into it. It's too deep and too detailed. And maybe the next time we can talk about that, it will blow your mind just how childhood trauma, either whether it's physical, sexual, emotional, or something in the community, because community violence is also part of childhood trauma, how that stuff literally affects the brain, which affects how we think and act and make choices. But if I want to be more technically sound, I do know and I do teach that there are some basic four steps to change your brain's rewiring. And I call it the four R's. R's. Mm-hmm. Like river. You use these things like relabel, reframing, refocus, and then also revalue. That's it. I teach the four R's. That's a little bit more technical. you know, when I'm, because I'm a cognitive behavior therapist, so I teach those. But to break it down for seminars and stuff like what we're doing today, I try to keep it as simple as possible. Hey, look, you start a positive action. If you continue to do it and you focus on it, you got to be intentional. You got to be deliberate. You can rewire your brain one habit at a time, and that's what I want you to realize. I want the listeners to get and to understand and realize.
Mm-hmm. And so you said that there were four R's. Can you yeah. say them again?
So you say a relabel. So that means you can relabel means you simply identify these deceptive brain messages that's running through your mind. Remember now, the canvas, these indiscriminate lines, which are your thoughts, you have to relabel them. And then you reframe them, which is you change your perception of their importance. You know, not everything that your mind thinks is true. So I teach my clients, you challenge the way you think. Challenge your thinking. Don't just accept that whatever your mind comes up with is absolutely true. Because if 70, 80, or 90% of our thoughts are negative, there's a lot of bad information going through our minds, coming from the environment, coming from what people have told us, coming from our own habits and choices. So we relabel things, we reframe those things. The third thing is refocus. Refocus means you direct your attention toward an activity that is productive and more positive. And then the last one is revalue. You clearly kind of see, the thoughts and urges for what they are. And, you know, I always tell people you don't want to put a lot of time and energy on stuff that has no value. So if it has value, you spend your time and energy there. If it doesn't, so if you can examine your thoughts. And is that really happening? Is what I'm feeling exactly going on right now? And if you say to yourself, yes, then you tell yourself, hey, where's the proof? If what you are feeling is actually happening, where's the proof? Because you got to be able to see it. Don't be just thinking it's happening. Where's the proof? If there is no proof, then you quickly divert that and put that someplace else. That's just me. Relabel it now. That's just me thinking or feeling a certain way because I got triggered and I got this thought. That's what this is. But what am I having for dinner tonight? See how quickly I just changed the focus? Because if I stay in that negative space, man, I'm going to make myself discouraged, depressed. I'm going to feel a certain way. So here's how it works. Whatever I'm thinking, if it's negative or even positive, has an effect on how I feel, both physically and emotionally. What I think has an effect on me physically and emotionally. Then I react or respond out of how I feel.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling negatively, then guess what? I'm going to react or respond to stuff in that same lens.
Right.
If it's positive, Dr. Lake, I'm going to react and respond.
Right. Dr. Lake, believe it or not, we are almost out of time. This segment went by so fast. I know it goes by so fast. I always tell my guests that. I want to tell people where to contact you. Dr. Lake has his own counseling practice. It's called MTASIC, and it's in Southern California. You can contact him. Can you give them your website?
Yes, it's www.imtasik.org. imtasik.org. That's my website.
Okay, and so that's where they can contact you. And also, you also have two books on Amazon. One is Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It. And the journey is called Messed Up, Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. And people are bigger than the problems they face. So I encourage you to look into both of his books. You can purchase those on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can also, he has a television program on his website as well called MTASIC. And he gave you that website link. And so I encourage you to look further and deeper into his information, because he does a lot of study on childhood trauma and also marriage premarital counseling, and so to speak. And so, Dr. Lake, I'm so thankful that you're able to spend the time to talk to our audience. I learned some great principles, and I hope that you all will apply it to your life to start the process of redefining and repatterning your brain. Thank you so much, and we will be back next week for another episode of Surviving to Thriving.
Thank you for joining us for Surviving to Thriving, Total Freedom from a Biblical Approach. Please tune in next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and 6 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition featuring your host, Denitra Gary, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Until we speak again next week, be sure to invite Jesus into your everyday life as He holds all of the answers you've been seeking in order to have total freedom.